Matthew chapter number 5, verse number 1, we'll start there. And the Bible says, seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain. And when he was set, his disciples came unto him, and he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father God, as we bow in your presence tonight, we love you and we thank you. Lord, I'm speechless tonight, Father. Father, I thank you for all the baptisms. I thank you for all the salvations. I thank you for everything that you're doing in this place. Lord, I thank you that you sit down. Lord, I know tonight, Father God, it's not nothing. And we're not special people. We're just saved people doing what you've called us to do. Father, we're just going out and telling a lost and dying world that Jesus saves. Lord, I pray tonight that our attitude always be lined up with the Beatitudes. Lord God, that we always be found faithful, hungry, and thirsting after you tonight, Father. Lord, I pray for the next few moments. You guard my throat, guard my thoughts. Let everything I say tonight be all about you, nothing about me, Father. Lord, I thank you for our brother Charles getting saved and baptized. I thank you for brother CJ rededicating his life. Lord, what a blessing that is. Lord, I pray you bless tonight in Jesus' most holy, precious name, and all of God's people said. Amen. You may be seated tonight. Tonight, as we finish up the Beatitudes, I want to say tonight, blessed are they that are persecuted. The key verse to memorize tonight is Matthew chapter number 5 and verse number 10. That'll be 22 verses that if you've kept up with them, you had the opportunity to memorize. It says, blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Tonight, as we come to the last beatitude that Jesus gave to his disciples, we will only experience the last one. The last beatitude, we'll only experience that if we keep the beatitudes before that, and the ones that are before it. The lazy, laid back, compromising, complacent Christian will never experience persecution for the name of Jesus. Get that tonight. I want you to let that sink in tonight. The lazy, the laid back, the compromising, the complacent Christian will never experience any persecution for Jesus' name. Why is that, preacher? Because they don't stand out. They don't stand up. They don't stick out in the crowd. When the crowd gets going, they just lay down. Let them tell the dirty jokes. Let them do the things that is unpleasing, and they don't buck them. They don't go against them. I thought about that as I studied this. I quote Adrian Rogers. He said, we don't go around being righteous. We are just to live righteous. We don't go around being a bunch of self-righteous folks. We just live a righteous life. How can we say that we're blessed for persecution tonight? How can we say that you're blessed to be persecuted? That's hard to understand, ain't it? That's hard to understand. I'm blessed for being persecuted. I want to get this out as I study this lesson. I thought about my family. I thought about my family, my dad's side of the family. And being a preacher, I thought about the persecution sometimes we go through, even with our own family, because we stand for God. I'll never forget my aunt. She died, and we had the funeral, and my uncle called me, and he said, will you preach the funeral? I said, sure, I'll preach the funeral. He called me back, and he said, I don't want you to preach the funeral. I want somebody else to preach the funeral. I want you to do the graveside. I said, okay. He called me back, and he said, I don't want you to preach the funeral. I don't want you to preach the graveside. I just want you to be there. I said, okay, I'll just be there. And then he called me back again. And he said, can you do the gravesite? I said, I'll do the gravesite. He said, good. You're talking about being persecuted. I want to give you this. We went to Danny Ox's funeral home over there. The man got up, preached the funeral. I didn't know why. I didn't get up and say anything at her funeral, but that was okay. I was trusting God. We got up to Carter Cemetery going out of Detroit, and we got up there, and Brother Blaylock was up there because they go to the church there. Brother Blaylock from Sulligent was there. Brother Kirkman over here was there from Sulligent. Danny Ox was there. Jesse Lee Barnes was there digging the cemetery, digging the plot out. That was me and my family. My little wife sitting there with me, and I thought everything was going to go good. Not knowing why I was going to speak at the graveside, and all of a sudden the chaos broke out, and I'm telling you, they got to fighting and fussing about knocking the casket over. All of them was going chaotic, didn't know what to do. You said, preacher, that don't happen. You ought to get my family a little bit. Amen. So they was having a fit up there, and I didn't know what to do or what to say. The only thing I knew what to do was reserve. We go all the way back to where I used to be, and I started hollering at them. I said, hey, listen up, we're not doing that here. You're not acting that way here. One of the old boys there, he was tattooed on top of his head to the bottom of his feet, just got out of prison. He said, I'll end this whole thing. I'll just kill every one of you. And there stands all these people from Sulligent, Danny Ox, the whole bunch. Everybody's glued in. What are we going to do now? out. Brother Roy, you know what I told him? I said, sit down out there. You ain't going nowhere. We're fixing to get this under control. And I let him tell him how God was who he said he was and how God could deliver them out of that. I knew they was going through pain. I knew they was hurting. But God could help them. And my daddy was laying right there, done buried him 20 years ago. And I told him, I said, where you're standing is sacred ground. And I don't want you to act that way. He said, preacher, did they all clap? And I salute you for that. No, sir, they did not. They didn't like it not one minute. But you listen to me. When you stand up for what God has called you to do, there is persecution coming against it. Hey, there's no way I can let them. And as I got reading this, I got thinking about standing up for God and what God has called us to do and being persecuted for that. Man, they railed on us. That old boy spun out of there finally, left that funeral and went down the road. About 3 days later, I was out there mowing, and I seen him walking up the hill from where I live. And there he was, him and the lady that he was with that's in my family. I thought, oh, Lord, here we go. Here we go. And they walked up to where I was at on that lawnmower, and I was too cheap to buy a battery, so I didn't kill it. Amen? If you killed it, you had to go get the jumper box to jump it back off. So I left it running and walked over there where he's at, and I was ready to fight, Brother John. I mean, hey, I thought it was on like chicken bone, you hear me? And he walked up to where I was at, even though he persecuted me there, even though he was mad at me there for telling the truth, he walked up to where I was at, and he said, preacher, can I talk to you for just a moment? I said, man, what's going on? He said, I'm sorry for the way that I acted. You was exactly right. I should have acted that way. You said, preacher, why is that? Because they're not lashing out against you. They're lashing out against God. They're lashing out against God. They're lashing out on what you're standing for. So how can we say that we're blessed for being persecuted? Number one, we're persecuted for righteousness. We see that in verse number 10. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake. If you're not going to live a life that's righteous before Almighty God, don't worry about being persecuted. Persecution for His name. Philippians chapter number 1 and verse number 29, the Bible says, for unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ, not only to believe on Him, but also to suffer for His sake. Being a Christian, being a follower of God, there is going to be suffering come in your life. Not only do I see we're persecuted for His name, but I see that we're reviled for His name. He says here, blessed are they which are persecuted for His sake. And to be reviled is this, for someone to scold you, to criticize you for your stand. To criticize you for what you're standing for, the name of Jesus Christ. Can I say to you tonight that not only do they persecute you and revile you, but they falsely accuse you for His name. Look what the Bible says. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say manner of evil against you falsely for my name's sake. 2 Timothy 2:12 says, if we suffer, we shall also reign with Him. If we deny Him, He will also deny us. Folks, tonight we've got to stand for Jesus Christ. We've got to stand for God Almighty. And in the world we're living in right now, the world is looking for true Christians to stand tonight. They are looking for us to stand, Brother Charles, and be that light that God has called us to be. And you stood tonight unashamed in that baptistry and told what God had did in your life. And I want you to know it won't always be easy and it won't always be a rose garden. But I want you to know tonight you got the lily of the valley. Amen. You got the rose of Sharon. You got the lamb tonight. You got Jesus tonight. You got the Holy Ghost dwelling in you tonight. And I say this tonight, the greater is He that is in us than he that is in the world. Amen. He says tonight, they're falsely accuse you for His name. They'll say, well, He said this and He said that. And folks, they'll falsely accuse you. You say, you believe that, preacher? You can turn to Mark chapter number 6, verse 17 through 19. John the Baptist was persecuted for the name of Jesus Christ. But also Jesus was persecuted. Look with me, if you will, to Luke chapter number 23 and verse number 14. I wrote that down for you. You can look at it when you get home. But in Luke 23 and verse number 14, I want to show you this tonight. Luke 23 and verse number 14. We know that Jesus died for you and I and our sin on the cross. But I want you to know He was an innocent man when He died on the cross. I want you to know that Pilate said, I can find no fault in this man. There is no fault. He has done nothing wrong. Folks, tonight you ain't got to do nothing wrong for this old worldly crowd to get on your back. Luke 23 and verse number 14, the Bible says, and here's what Pilate said. And Pilate, when he had called together the chief priests and the rulers and the people, he said unto them, you have brought this man unto me as one that perverted the people, and behold, I have examined him. Hey, Pilate said, I've examined Jesus. I've looked him up one side and I've looked him up down the other. And here is what he said. I've examined him before you. I have found no fault in this man, touching those things wherefore you accuse him of. Tonight, can I say to you that people are going to falsely accuse you because they falsely accuse Jesus. I see that. Why are we persecuted for righteousness? Number one, because we're persecuted for righteousness. But number two, we're promised a reward. Folks, tonight, I want you to know, whatever you get thrown at you on this side, don't worry about it. It's a whole lot better over yonder. Look in verse number 12 of your text. I see I'm persecuted, and you are for righteousness, verse number 10. But I also see in verse number 12 that I am promised a reward. If I just stand what God has called me to do, don't waver, don't cave, don't get out, stick with the stuff, stand with it. I read an article today, and they said people that get born again, washed in the blood of Jesus, their tendency is this: in 3 years, they burn out. They quit going to church. They quit having to do anything with the church. They have nothing to do with it. In 3 years, they are not even affiliated with the church. In 3 years. I would say that's pretty true. I see a sea of folks come through this place every Sunday night. I see that sea of folks. I see people get saved and get on fire for God. And in 3 years, things in their life happen, and you can't even find them if you put an APB out for them. So tonight, my promise is this. I may be persecuted, but I have a promise and a reward tonight. Look in verse number 12. He said, rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. I see my reward tonight is in heaven. Now that's a guarantee. Amen. Matthew 6:20 says, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Neither were moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. Tonight, can I say to you, I got something laid up over yonder that thieves can't get a hold of. Ooh, glory. 1 Corinthians 3:8, the Bible says, now he that planteth and he that soweth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. And I wrote this on your paper. Trust me, it's a work to have the right attitude when you're planting and watering. The Beatitudes that Jesus gave is how our attitude should be as a Christian. As these Beatitudes are, that's how our attitude should be. I thought about that persecuted for righteousness and that promise of a reward. He said, lay yourself up treasures in heaven. Do y'all remember when Walmart, before everybody got a credit card and everybody got money, do y'all remember when Walmart had a layaway? Now, poor folks gonna shake your head. Y'all know what I'm talking about. You had to buy stuff and put it on layaway. Or you had the money to buy it. You seen it. You liked it. You put it on layaway. You went in there in January, put it on layaway. By the time you got it in December for Christmas, it's done outdated. Y'all know what I'm talking about. But I'll never forget this, and I've told Brandy this. I'll never forget my mama and my daddy for Christmas. Every year, they put our stuff on layaway. And I cannot wait to see that cardboard box. Y'all know what I'm talking about. They bring that cardboard box in the house. That thing be this big. Both of them took it on both sides. And it'd be slap full of stuff they had bought us. Slap full of stuff that they had laid up for us. And when I got thinking about that box, and I got thinking about, I knew when they bought that box in, Sister Keela, that was a promise. Something in there had my name on it. They didn't have, something in that box had my name on it. Something in that box I wanted, and I couldn't wait to get a hold of it. And I got thinking about that this week as I was studying. I thought about the times I've been persecuted in my life. But I've also thought about the promise. That's why I keep going. I keep following him. I keep standing. I keep doing what he's called me to do. Because I know he's promised me something. And I know that one day, I may not receive everything I want to receive here, but I'm going to receive it over yonder. I am going to receive everything. Listen to me. I won't have to have another open heart surgery over yonder. When I get over there, there won't be no cancer over yonder. There won't be none of them things over there. And it's going to be laid up for you and I, the ones that keep standing, keep calling on his name, keep serving him, keep living for him, and keep doing what he's called us to do. You say, preacher, you believe that? I believe that with all my heart, that it's laid up over yonder. And there's going to come a day that when you get over there, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. Where I saw what I've told you. I go to prepare a place for you. You said, preacher, what do you think about that? I think it's personal. I think he tells me he's going to do it. I see not only I'm persecuted for righteousness, but I see I'm promised a reward. Why am I promised a reward? Have you ever thought about that? It's because of who I am? No. Lord, no. When he saved me, he trust me, he got the bad end of the deal. why? Why am I promised a reward? Because I'm part of the redeemed. I'm just part of the redeemed. I get persecuted, you do too. I've got family. And I don't call on your family. I'll just tell you the family I live in. When I was lost, they all wanted me to get saved. Every one of them. When I got out of jail, every one of them visited me. I didn't know they went to church. Now they're all religious. They all come to the house. You need Jesus. And I'm like, y'all go to church? You need to come to church. You need Jesus. And I'm like, who's all these folks? How'd they get Jesus so quick? We just drank the beer together a couple weeks ago. And now we all going to church. Y'all don't know what I'm talking about. Y'all got the good families. Y'all got the good, righteous families. But then after I got saved, I must have got too saved. Now they're like, oh, I wished I had the old BJ. I've had them tell me, I wished the old BJ was around. Well, I'm sorry, he's dead. He's been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. Now listen to me. Why? Because I'm part of the redeemed. They think they can just live anyway, drink their beer, do their thing. You say, preacher, you preach on that all the time because people around here drink. You walk into stores, you walk into restaurants. Me and my wife was over there in Tupelo, Mississippi, and a little couple that I married, and I'm going to get in trouble for this because it'll be on the YouTube up there, but I'm going to tell it anyway. She told me, she said, that's that couple you married. And I was like, yes, you need to go talk to them. I went over, I walked up, man, that table was full of beer and everything else. And I just sat down. Their countenance dropped, my countenance dropped. They said, oh, I said, hey, that's your business. I walked back over, I said, if you see anybody else we know, please don't tell me to go to their table. Please don't tell me to go there. I don't go in looking for anybody at them restaurants. I go with my head down, go get my pork chop, eat that thing, and go out the door. But they, listen, you get persecuted for righteousness. Here's what my family tells me now. You come to the family get together, I'm like, y'all gonna be drinking? We're gonna put it in a cup. I said, I ain't coming. I don't care if you put it in a cup. I don't care if you put it in an IV. I don't care where you put it. If it's there, it's there. Well, the kids won't see it. I don't care who the kids see it. I got a Father in heaven that sees everything I do. His eyes are upon us tonight, folks. Listen to me. His eyes are on you. His eyes are on me. I'm not getting in that. I'm not getting caught up in it. I'm not getting caught up in it. You say, oh, come on, preacher. What if he decided to come back when I was standing there with him? What if he decided to come back? I want to be caught in that. Be caught with that. Be caught around that. No, I don't. And you get persecuted for that. You say, preacher, you don't. Yeah, you do. You do, Brother Roy. For righteousness. And then the ones that wanted you to be saved, now they call you a Bible thumper. And I can just tell you what my family does. Friends do it too. But oh, there he comes again. Persecuted. Why? Because I know I'm promised a reward. Because I'm part of the redeemed. You've got to stand for something. Or you'll fall for anything. You be careful. You be careful. My mama always told me, what you run with, you're going to be. And I said, oh, mama. You better get away from them. Oh, mama. Mama was right. Let me show you this part of the redeemed. We're going to go. Look at part of the redeemed tonight. I want to show you this. He says this, rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For persecuted they the prophets which have been before you. I see tonight we're part of the redeemed, number one, because the prophets was persecuted. They were persecuted for being salt and light in a world that was full of darkness. With salt of the earth, don't lose your saltness. I wrote that down tonight. The light of the world, let that light shine. Psalm 107, 2 and 3, the Bible says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he had redeemed from the hand of the enemy and gathered them out of the lands from the east and from the west and from the north and from the south. If you're part of the redeemed tonight, be it. Be it. Man, be what God's called you to be. Ephesians 1, 13 and 14, the Bible says, in whom you also trusted, after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and whom also after that you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance unto the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. Folks, tonight, you may be persecuted for righteousness. And if you're saved, there ought to be a change, and people knows it, and there ought to be a change. You're going to catch a little flack. We say that if you live right for the Lord, you're going to catch a lot of flack. Not only persecuted for righteousness, not only you're promised a reward, but you're part of the redeemed. You're part of the redeemed. And you know who's redeemed or not. You can just tell it when you walk in a place. I'm not judging nobody, but you can tell it. I heard this right here. I like military stories. I love that. I'm going to close with this. They said the reason we could not win Vietnam, and the reason it was so bad, it's way before my time. And the reason we had such a hard time in Vietnam is they couldn't tell who the enemy was. They couldn't tell who the enemy was. They couldn't tell who was on their side and who wasn't on their side. They said there in Vietnam, there was two different groups there. And said they couldn't tell who was who or what was what. Folks, tonight, we were going to tell our enemy. Tonight, the devil's your enemy. He's your enemy tonight. He don't want you to be blessed. He wants you to die. He wants to kill, steal, and destroy. And tonight, can I say to you, there's not a person in this room my enemy, and I'm not your enemy. What are we tonight? We're children of God. And we're part of the redeemed. And what should we do? We should fight together. Man, we should stick together, fight together, let God lead us in the way that He should. Amen. I pray tonight, this right here is my prayer for you tonight, that as we went through these Beatitudes, that your attitude tonight is this: no matter what comes my way, I'm blessed. I'm blessed just to be able to get up and be a follower of Jesus Christ. That's what I want to be in the world I live in. We had a lady come to the house yesterday, and she was doing some things, talking to me and Brandy. She asked me a question. I knew the answer with Paul. And I knew the answer was going to cost me. I knew it when I asked the answer. And she said, she asked me the question. And I said, ma'am, you know I'm a preacher. She said, yes, sir. I deal with them all the time. So I'm going to tell you the honest God truth. I said, not because you're here. I'm going to tell you the honest God truth because He's up there. You said, you can stretch it. Just, no, sir. Don't you stretch it. You stretch a little, you'll stretch a lot. You lean this way a little bit. Whichever way you lean, that's where you're going to fall. Whatever your hiccup is, you lean toward it. And one of my hiccups is lying. Boy, I love to tell lies now, especially if my tail's in a crack. Oh, that may not be a good word to use in here, but everybody understands that. But I have found out sometimes it gets in that crack. And God's just going to see what I'm going to do. And I told that woman yesterday, Brandy, stand there. I said, I know it's going to cost me. But I'm going to tell you the truth. She said, let's hear it. I laid it out there, son. She said, thank you for your honesty. I don't know what that's going to mean. I don't know what that means. But I told her the truth. My daddy always told me the truth would stand when the world's on fire. Let us pray. Father, I love you and I praise you and I glorify you. Lord, I don't know who I'm talking to tonight. But you do. Lord God, they're your children. They're your people. Lord God, tonight I pray that we can say we're blessed even when persecution comes, because we got a reward in heaven. Lord God, we're part of the redeemed, and I thank you for that. Lord, I thank you for the spirit that's alive and well in this place. Lord, I thank you right now. Lord, I pray you bless our children that's in the other room. Lord, I pray tonight, Lord God, you just have your will and way in each and every one of our lives. Lord, I pray we don't let our own will and our own thoughts and our own desires get in the way of your will and your desire for our life. Lord, I pray we be yielded to it. Lord, I pray we not be leaning to the left or leaning to the right. We stay true to what you call us to do. We stay true to it, Father. Lord, you reward faithfulness tonight. You do. You take obedience over sacrifice any day. Lord God, you want us to be obedient. I thank you for that. I praise you for that. It's in Jesus' most holy, precious name. All of God's people said. Amen. Amen. Love on somebody tonight as you leave.